I slated to be done with the book of Job by the end of September, but I believe we're going to be done with it sooner because I'm naturally behaving myself and doing a whole lot more clumps of scripture. Well, because these are rhetorical questions that God is asking Job, and you can't go. There's nothing to flesh out. There's not a whole lot, put it that way, to flesh out. So we're able to go a bit faster with it, and so this isn't going to take long today. So let me put this up. We're on part 45, chapter 39, and I believe we're going to get through the whole chapter today, even though it has 20 some verses. We're going to get through the whole chapter. Now, keep in mind, as I said, these are rhetorical questions that God is asking Job because God knows Job has no answer for these questions. Okay. And when God does ask Job a question that he can answer, Job has nothing to say. Job's just as we would be if God showed up in a whirlwind and began to talk to us through a whirlwind. We'd be shocked. We'd be stunned. I have nothing to say. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Oh my God, every time we open up the word of God, Lord, I indeed count it a privilege, Lord, to hear every word from your mouth because all of your words are life-giving. And when you speak, oh God, you give life to Lord, to whom your words come. And so we thank you, oh Lord, for the word of God, and help us, Lord, as we read today so that we might hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Yes.
So the Lord continues in chapter 39, Job chapter 39, and he says to Job, "Do you know the time when the wild mountain goats bear young? Or can you mark when the deer gives birth? Can you number the months that they fulfill? Or do you know the time when they bear young? They bow down, they bring forth their young, they deliver their offspring. The young ones are healthy. They grow strong with grain. They depart and do not return to them." And so here when we read this, we might say to ourselves, well, we know when mountain goats bring forth the young. We watch it on YouTube. We can mark when the deer gives birth. We know. But in Job's time, when the mountain goats lived up on the tops of mountains, and there weren't helicopters to get up there and see, and there weren't people studying animals, there weren't people with cameras and video recorders that doing all of this. Job had no clue when the mountain goat bears its young. He had absolutely no clue. The people of that time would have had no clue when the deer were to give birth, what time they were to bear young. And so Job could not answer this question. God wasn't asking Job this question in order to get an answer for him. As we've always said, when God asks a question, he's never looking for information. Okay. Right. So if God were to speak to us in our time, he speak to some scientist and he says, "Do you know what dark matter is? Do you know what the energy is that's causing the universe to expand?" All the scientists would go, "Oh no. Do you know what a black hole is?" See, that would be something along our lines. We got all these cameras and we have all of our science, and they're looking at a black hole, and they call it a black hole because they don't know what it is. They really don't know what it is. How does gravity collapsing to a singularity create a black hole? What on earth is a singularity? I mean, they can't put it so we can understand it. Oh, no, we can't do that. Yeah, because they don't understand it. That's why. So, neither the mountain goat nor the deer were domesticated. So Job would not know the time, nor are they today. Mountain goats aren't domesticated. You don't see people with mountain goats in their farm. No, these goats walk up on the cliffs. One scholar said it's like the ibex that's walking on sheer cliffs that if they fall, I mean, have you ever seen the ibex? Oh my goodness. If you haven't, go on YouTube and type in IBEX and look at these goats that God created to walk on sheer cliffs, and it's astounding. You're like, only a God open. That he can do these things. So God says, he's asking Job, do you know the time? Okay, Job, you don't even know the time, but I'm the one who created those. God says, I'm the one who created those animals. Amen. So Job, who's, you know, he's running off. He's been saying a whole lot. I want to get to God. I'm going to question him and all this. And God's like, you can't even handle, you don't even know the time when these animals do what they do. And yet I created these animals, right? Listen to this. Colossians 1:16, one of my favorites. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Here it is. All things were created through him and for him.
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay, this comes to us from Paul in the New Testament. But all things, you go outside, look around, you look at people, you see animals, you see forests and waterfalls and the sun and the moon. It says all things were created through him or by him and for him. They exist for him. Nothing exists for itself.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing exists for itself. So guess what? Us, we don't exist for ourselves. All things exist because of him and for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Job's sitting there getting it wrong, like, where is it? We do the same thing. No, I don't understand. This doesn't matter. Wait, hold it. There's a reason why Job is in the Bible. Hello. Look, I'm learning something through the book of Job. I'm learning something through this study. I hope you are, because I'm learning, hey, there's that, we have nothing to say. But we don't agree with what's going on. Okay, you may not agree. Why? Because you don't understand. And we keep our mouth shut. Let's say, like Job did, because Job, you know, for Job, what he learned out of it all, he humbled himself at the end. If we don't get anything, we have to get the humility that the revelation of God brought to Job. The humility, not to mention the goodness of God. I mean, the revelation that came to Job was so astounding in its scope. Because the revelation of who God is will always humble man. Forget, always, always. So people say, I know God, but they're arrogant as oh, get out. I'm saying, oh, no, no. The Bible says that God resists the proud and the arrogant, but he gives grace to the what? To the who?
Mm-hmm.
The humble. The humble. Yeah. So nothing exists for itself. We're watching all this stuff on TV. I thought about, you know, here these Olympic runners, they run and they do whatever they do to the best of their ability. They jump up and look at it, I'm the greatest. I got the gold medal. I'm like, yeah, but you don't exist for yourself.
Right.
Who gave you those abilities? I'm not saying don't use them. Use them to the glory of God. But who made you like that?
Right.
Who made Sydney McLaughlin, Leveron, the girl who, my goodness, jump over a hurdle and leave everybody in the dust? I'm talking about on the Olympic level. In other words, there's nobody in the world right now who is better than her. Who made her like that? Who made Steph Curry to shoot a basketball like that? Played basketball. Get out there. Get out there and get your ball. Go out there and try and do that. We look at these Olympic athletes. I heard the other day, this name may not mean anything to you, but this name, Sean Martin, he's a musician. And he's 45 years old, and he passed away 4 days ago. And I used to listen to him all the time on YouTube. He worked with Kirk Franklin and other people, but he passed away. And I was like, wow. And all the music that he brought was just beautiful, beautiful music. But who made him like that? Who made him with the capability to do what he did? God did. Who made you to do what you do the level that you do it. God does. God did it. And he did it for himself, for he will receive all the glory and all the praise. Who redeemed us? Come on now. Only one. John said, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Amen. Everything
Amen.
Made wants and gives glory to God. It exists for his glory, whether it knows it or not. Hello. Whether it knows it or not, namely us, namely fallen human beings, until God redeems us and lets us know that he redeemed us for his glory. Amen?
Yes.
So Job is finding out that Job does not exist for himself. Huh? Come on now. That's the reason why my last scripture, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to jump to it early. That's why God said in Job chapter 1, verse 8, he says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? Now, from our perspective, we're sitting here going, well, now, why would you do that, God? It doesn't look like it's going to be too good for Job. Of course, Job's only thinking about himself. He's not thinking about God's glory.
Hmm.
What do we do when we go through a trial? What are we thinking about? We think about us. I'm gonna mention it again. I know I've said it. I say it over and over again, but I'm going to keep saying it. Paul learned when he had a thorn in the flesh. He said, God, take this thing away from me because I don't like it. God said, no, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you because when in the midst of your weakness, my strength is made perfect. Paul all of a sudden got his eyes off himself. And he said, okay, therefore, I'm going to rejoice in infirmities and weaknesses and sufferings and persecutions because when we begin, am I strong in God? Mm-hmm. Put out as a drink offering for you. But what I'm saying is God is moving all of us to that place. Okay. He's moving all of us to that place because we go through things that we cannot get out of, like Paul did with the thorn in the flesh, like Job did with the trial that he went through. He could not get out of it. Anybody in a trial today, you can't get out of? You sit there like, Lord, why on earth is this? Well, I got news for you. Settle down in Jesus. Settle down in the Lord. Get your eyes off yourself and get them fixed on Jesus, the one who's sustaining you in the midst of the trial, because the same one whose grace was sufficient for Paul, his grace is sufficient for thee. Try him every day and see.
Mm-hmm.
Try him every day and see. God, you bring me to another day. I give you thanks and praise. Oh, Lord, though I may be weak in body, though I may be taxed in my mind, though it may be hard, thank you, oh God, for the goodness of your grace, and I glorify and magnify your great name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Now listen. Let's see here. Okay, let me go on. Verse 5. Who set the wild donkey free? Notice that the animals so far God is mentioning, they're wild. They cannot be domesticated or haven't been to this point. Who loosed the bonds of the onager, which is a wild donkey? Whose home I have made in the wilderness and the barren land his dwelling. He scorns the tumult of the city. He does not heed the shouts of the driver. The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. God determined where the wild donkey would live and how the wild donkey would act. And at this point in history, Job or anyone else couldn't do anything about it. The wild donkey, not the domesticated donkey. This is a donkey you can't train. You can't domesticate. There was nothing that Job could do about it. Job was surrounded by God's gracious works, yet he didn't think it would be unwise to question God's judgment. Hello? He had view of the awesome power, wisdom, and understanding of God all around him, yet he thought that God was unwise in what he was doing with him.
Mm-hmm.
And God had surrounded him with all of his wisdom in his creation, and yet Job couldn't answer these questions, but he's going to question God. Let me jump ahead to next week where we're going and show you the one question that God does ask Job that Job, he can't answer. Listen at what God said in Job chapter 40, verse 8. Would you indeed annul my judgment? When I read that, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Would you say I'm wrong? You condemn me that you may be justified? Just because Job didn't understand what was going on. See, he thought God was trying to kill him because Satan had incited God against Job. See, Satan had filled Job's mind with thoughts that was fomenting all of this violence against him, and God was the one who was trying to take him down, and God was the one who was going to kill him. And God is saying, would you, because I allowed this to happen to you, would you say you are right and I'm wrong, Job? My God, my God. I learned one thing. It doesn't matter what I'm going through, I will never annul God's judgment so that I can be justified. Yeah, Lord, I deserve better than this. Oh, do you? Oh, do you? No, I don't. You know what we all deserve. Let's be clear. You know what we all deserve. And listen, but think about this. This is interesting. In the light of all that we deserve, we think if we go through a hard trial that we get to mouth off to God and be some kind of way because we don't like what we're going through. Well, what if God said, okay, well, I'm just going to give you what you deserve. Then we're like, please don't do that. Okay, well, then be quiet. This is me reasoning, okay, not God. But, excuse me, as I look at it, I'm like, oh, Lord, that's in everything, give thanks. In everything. Well, but they're persecuting me in everything. Yeah, but they're not treating me right in everything. Yeah, but John the Baptist, Lord, they're going to cut off my head. Blessed is he who is not offended in me.
Amen.
Everything. Why in everything give thanks? Because in everything, he is with you.
Amen.
He is with you. Has promised I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If God is with me, it don't matter what I go through. If God is with me, in everything I can give thanks.
Amen.
Tell you what, this is changing my whole thought process. I live in thanksgiving all day long. I live in, I cleaned a 4-story building yesterday in Fairfax. One building. I got done with that building, went across the street and cleaned another 4-story building. And all the while, I shall thank you, Jesus, the 60-year-old man. Thank you, Jesus, for strength.
Amen. Amen.
And yet, when I'm walking up the steps here to go upstairs, a pain hit my knee. I was like, oh, my God. But I know I need the Lord. I'm just over everything.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So this is the question that God asked Job that he could answer, but Job didn't answer. Job shut up. Hello. Remember what Elihu said. Elihu said, as for the Almighty, we cannot find him. He is excellent in power, in judgment. He's excellent in judgment and abundant justice. He does not oppress. So when Job wanted to annul God's judgment, Elihu reminded him that he's excellent in judgment. He hasn't taken away your judgment, Job. And we know that to be the case as we see the end of the whole affair in chapter 42. So, God continues this theme about the wild animals. Excuse me. And he says, will the wild ox be willing to serve you? Mm-hmm. Will he bend by your manger? Can you bind the wild ox in the furrow with ropes? Or will he plow the valleys behind you? Will you trust him because his strength is great? Or will you leave your labor to him? Will you trust him to bring home your grain and gather it to your threshing floor? In other words, can you use the strength of the wild ox for human husbandry, whereby you can get gain and a harvest and get income from what you sell? Will it do that for you? And the answer, the rhetorical answer is no, it won't.
No. Mm-hmm.
You can't bind that wild ox. The wild ox is just that. It's wild, right? It's not going to listen to you. It can't be domesticated. It doesn't do your bidding. God is saying, if the creature doesn't listen to you and do your bidding, how do you expect God to answer your every whim, Job? All of that's built into creation. You know, we could learn some things if you study how God made things. You know, that's what he's saying to Job. And yet Job wanted God to move heaven and earth for him, because Job's perception of himself was that he did not deserve what was going on to him. But Job didn't understand, as we would come to understand from Colossians that I just read, we were created for him, not him for us. I know some people think God's created, God exists for him, for us, rather, to, you know, to run to our every cry. He does as his children, but according to his will and not ours.
Amen.
He goes on to another wild animal. The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but her wings and pinions are her wings and pinions like the kindly storks? So God compares the ostrich to the stork, both unclean animals, according to Israel's law. But it was different. So God is referring to the fact that he made them differently, right? For she leaves her eggs on the ground and warms them in the dust. She forgets that a foot may crush them, or that a wild beast may break them. She treats her young harshly, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain, without concern. Why? Because God deprived her of wisdom. God didn't make the ostrich with the wherewithal to care supremely for its young. God deprived her, or made her without that wisdom, and did not endow her with understanding. When she lifts herself up on high, she scorns the horse and its rider. So God has determined the features of the animal kingdom and their differences. If God makes a creature a certain way, that is the way it is. God has made some animals with a lack of wisdom and understanding. The ostrich behaves harshly toward his offspring. Why? God made her that way. There is simply nothing that this creature that he made in his image can do about it. The line of questioning serves to humble Job and us. For what can we do about any of this? What can we do about any of what God is saying? What he made wild is wild. That's the way it is, Job. So Job is getting an understanding from God about God's created order. Not the eternal existence of God and his wisdom throughout the ages, but just in his creation and his created order. So in verse 19, he says, have you given the horse strength? So it moves to a horse that can be and is domesticated and was in that time, perhaps. Have you given the horse strength? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him like a locust? Even though God made the horse strong, it also jumps when it's frightened. His majestic snorting strikes terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. I don't know if you've ever seen wild horses running free out in the valley. They're running free and carefree. And it's just a beautiful thing. He gallops, yet he gallops into the clash of arms. He mocks at fear and is not frightened. You ever see somebody, the horses of the Indians and the cowboys we see on TV, or you ever see the horse running in battle and all of a sudden stop and say, oh no, I'm not going in there, I'm too scared. No, we the ones that are scared, the ones riding the horse. The horse mocks at fear, God tells Job, and is not frightened, nor does he turn back from the sword. They said, how many horses? I think four were shot out from underneath General Washington, George Washington, if I understand it correctly, or whoever it was, and maybe not him. It says the quiver rattles against him, the glittering spear and javelin. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage. Nor does he come to a halt because the trumpet has sounded. At the blast of the trumpet, he says, aha! He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of captains and shouting. So in other words, God, who created the horse with such strength, also made it to jump when frightened. Yet this same horse is not afraid of the battle. Matter of fact, the Proverbs 21 and 31 says, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. Amen. We're the ones afraid of the battle, not the horse.
Right.
And so God, he asked Job, he says, Job, do you understand? Have you given strength to the horse? Now, of course, this is a rhetorical question because God's not looking for information. And Job gets the point. He has power to do nothing concerning this. God has done it all. And when I go outside for a walk and I look around on the creation, I say, yeah, God, you did it all. It's just, and what you've done is awesome. What you've done is we could spend our whole life, people do spend their whole lives studying one small aspect of what God has done and still don't understand it all. Yeah, because God is awesome in his deeds. The last part of Job 39 we'll deal with here. Does the hawk fly by your wisdom, Job, and spread its wings toward the south? Job, who thinks he knows so much about how God has taken away his justice, he doesn't cause the hawk to fly. Come on. He doesn't. God says, does the eagle mount up at your command? God made the eagle to fly by his decree. Job had nothing to do with it. And make his nest on high. On the rock it dwells and resides, on the crag of the rock and the stronghold. From there it spies out its prey. It observes from afar. Its eyes observe from afar. That reminds me, I was walking a long walk, about a month ago. And I passed a place of trees, like a forest, but it was small. Places, trees, and I'm walking along and I look into the trees, and here's a big old hawk sitting on a stump. Big, I'll be a big hawk sitting on a stump, and he's looking at me. So when I read this, his eyes observed from afar. Man, this hawk was looking at me, and I just happened to look into this wooded area. And here's this. Oh, yeah. But watching me. My goodness. So he says, its young ones suck up blood, and where the slain are, there it is, because these hawks, they're scavengers. Amen. So where the dead are, they will go and take their fill of what's left over. In other words, the Creator determines how the kingdom, the animal kingdom, functions and what happens to it, what happens in it. The same God who determines how the animal kingdom functions is the God who determines what happens in the kingdom of men. Job, he who caused the hawk to fly and the eagle to mount up at his command, he's the one that determines what happens in the kingdom of men as well. Even if he's not the direct cause, as in this case, of the events that happened to Job. God was not the direct cause. Satan was. Yet God determined that it would happen, just as he determines what happens in the animal kingdom. Job, the eagle flies high because God decreed it. Job and us, we have nothing to do with it, but observe the glory of God. How awesome God is.
Amen.
What determines what happens in our lives? And in the case of the believer, in the case of the Christian, in the as it was in the case of Job, who was approved of God, God was with Job, even Job didn't know it, throughout all of what Job went through, and God restored Job at the end. God determines what is going to happen in our lives. Now, even if the devil is the direct cause, God allows it. Why? So that God will be glorified in the end.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Remember that God gloriously rejoiced in the defeat of the devil, because what the devil said he would get Job to do did not happen. The devil said, I will cause him to curse you to your face. And Job did everything but that. He did not curse God.
Amen.
He questioned God. He said, God's taking away my judgment, but he did not curse God.
Amen.
So when Job to go through this, it was so that God would be glorified in the end. When God is glorified in this, we see life.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because remember, we don't exist for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Hey, look. Men's Olympic team. Hey, my family was rejoicing, all the medals, everything flying around yesterday and all. When the men's Olympic arena 4x4 got was cleaning or whatever. I don't know what I was cleaning. My watch was lighting up. My wife and Tori just, they were like, oh my goodness. Apparently the men, they couldn't get it together.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they couldn't get it together. And but had they got it together, what's it for? What's it all for? Well, it's really for the glory of God. See, because he made us. Right. He made the ability that he's given us, right? And so we give all the glory to God, who is awesome in how he's made us.
Amen.
God has done all these great, awesome, and wonderful things. And in considering all that God has done, could it be that he has ordained Job to go through what he went through? Could it be that God has ordained that we go through certain things? Like he ordained Joseph? You see, because Joseph was the one that received the dream about Egypt and about the Pharaoh and about the famine and all that. Mm-hmm. And Joseph was the one who said, God sent me ahead of you. Oh, yes. You mean all that you went through? You mean us lying on you and cheating and the woman lying and then the butler forgetting and all of this? Yeah, God sent me. Now, he wasn't the direct doer of it. You were. But what you meant for evil, God meant it for good.
Okay. Amen.
When people come at you and do evil things,
mm-hmm.
you could say, oh, God, I can't believe this is happening to me. No, believe it. It's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, God allowed it, but he's not the direct cause of it. The people's wickedness is, and they're going to stand before us on the last day, give an account for their wickedness.
Amen.
Amen. But God has promised to be with you in the midst of it. And if we'll understand it all, we will understand it better. My Lord. We will understand that we ought to give glory to God all through the midst of it, because God is the one worthy of it all. God is the one, even in the midst of the trial, he's given us breath each and every day to live, even though we're going through a hard time. God is keeping us in the midst of the fire. Amen. Is that what you did for the Hebrew boys? I mean, mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you something. don't you find it would have been awfully strange if when the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood up in the midst of the fire and they saw the Son of Man standing right there? Now, wouldn't it have been awfully strange if they said, Lord, how on earth could you allow us to go through this? I don't understand. We serve you. We love you. We hold it fast to your word. Here you stand in the midst of the fire where you should be dead, and you're alive. Wouldn't it be, they said, I want to stand to us.
Right.
Oh, Lord, please don't let us be like that. Please don't let us be like that. So, let me say it again. In considering all that God has done, could it be that God has ordained that we go through certain things as Job did, or as Joseph did, or pick your Old Testament, New Testament saint? All of that they went through. God ordained. Or better yet, as Paul put it in Romans chapter 9, will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Just let that sink in for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Ruminate. Dwell. Just let it, marinade. What you want to say? Does not the potter have power over the clay? And let's be clear, we the clay, folks. Let's be clear. You're the clay.
Right.
Whichever way, if he puts a little pressure, guess what? On any spot of that soft clay, the whole shape changes. And if the potter puts a little pressure to a trial, he's shaping this clay according to what he wants. What the clay wants, according to what the potter wants. For the same lump, to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor. And I close with what I mentioned earlier. Remember, Job was living his life, greatest man in the East, 10 children, many assets, extremely rich. And God said to Satan, he said, wait, where you been? And Satan said, I've been walking to and fro throughout the earth. And then God said, have you considered my servant Job? God is the one who initiated, who allowed this whole thing to come about. Why? So that God could be glorified in the end, because that's why Job exists. That's why we exist. Why would God allow a pastor who was some years ago, and this happened recently, it's happened again. Why would God allow a pastor and his wife who were traveling with their 6 children in the minivan for another car to come up in the back of the minivan, hit the minivan, explode, kill all 6 children?
Mm-hmm.
And the father and mother survive. And why? Well, I'll tell you part of the reason why, amongst many things that I do not know. They got on television. They got when the reporters, you know how the reporters are.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel? You know, they ask you some of the dumbest things. How does it feel? And they begin to testify about the goodness of God and how God kept them. And not only that, but how God gave them not a premonition, but a prophetic sense that something was going to happen. And God prepared them for that moment. And they gave glory to God on national television. And to countless other people who they've met all throughout their lives since then, that God is able to keep you even if the devil takes all your children away, even if life and its harsh circumstances, its unforeseen calamity comes and bereaves you or takes away all of your loved ones. God is able to keep you, and God is therefore to be glorified. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Any questions or comments on the teaching?
Amen. Good word. Good word.
Thank you. Thank you.
So for a small question for you.
Sure.
So when you were walking around the trail and you saw that big old hawk perching on that stone and staring at you, What was going through your mind?
Oh. What's going through my mind is, I'm sitting here, I see him momentarily. I'm walking down this long trail. And what was going through my mind, this fuck been watching me the whole time. I'm looking at God's creation, but God's creation was looking back at me. I thought about how God made the hawk, that they can see things like miles away. They can be a mile up in the sky and see a mouse running in the grass.
Amen.
Somebody. Yeah. Who is like you? No one.
Really.
These walks. I'm sitting there. Like, you ever see Daniel's Facebook page? You should see Daniel's Facebook page. So when he goes to places, my Lord, he goes to places when you, if I was to turn the corner where he goes, my jaw would hit the ground and I just stand there. Because it is so beautiful. The pictures that he puts up, absolutely astounding. I mean, the glory of God has to flood all over him when he goes walking in these places. Because I'm just looking at pictures on Facebook. I'm like, wow, Lord. Woo. Beautiful waterfalls. And it's just all beautiful. And so that's where I was when I saw that hawk. And even like I said, it was a big hawk. And I thought, man, God is awesome. That's where I
was. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Good to see you, Brother Carl. Good to see you all, Darren, Melody, Mingos, Daniel.
Amen.
Bill, Kweku, thank you for being faithful. Come on again. We're going to take it up again next week. And hopefully God will open up more of his word to us and give us insight on this life that we find ourselves in. Amen?
Amen.
God bless the rest of your day. Have a great week.
You too.
Bye now.